Well, it's great to be back. Before I begin the message this morning, I want to show you a little video clip. Let me set it up here before we hit the play button. So we're going to continue a series of messages that I started a couple of weeks ago on good choices. I believe this will really help you. It's really received a really good response. A lot of people told me how it has helped them. So I encourage you to take notes on this. I'm going to repeat a couple of things as I mentioned last time and then kind of move forward since I didn't finish that message. I believe it'll help you really in your thinking and in the decision-making process that you have on how to make good choices. But let me set this video clip up. There's a movie that maybe you have seen called It's a Wonderful Life. And George Bailey experiences a hardship. Excuse me a second. Experiences a hardship. Hang on a second. My notes are giving me a problem here. All right. You know, he experiences this great hardship and this financial difficulty in his life, and he decides, you know, that his life's not worth living anymore, and it would be better for him, better for everybody else, if he wasn't alive. However, with the help of his angel Clarence, George gets to see his town and the people in the town the way it would be without him. And that's why it's called A Wonderful Life. And so I've got a little video clip of him, and a part of this sequence where he's coming to grips with the fact that without him, the lives of the people around him wouldn't be so wonderful. The angel Clarence says to him, each man's life touches so many others. So if you're ready, Trina, go ahead and hit this.
Are you sure this is Bailey Park?
No, I'm not sure of anything anymore. All I know is this should be Bailey Park. But where are the houses?
We weren't here to build them. Your brother, Harry Bailey, broke through the ice and was drowned at the age of 9.
That's a lie. Harry Bailey went to war. He got the Congressional Medal of Honor. He saved the lives of every man on that transport.
Every man on that transport died. Harry wasn't there to save them because you weren't there to save Harry. You see, George, you really had a wonderful life. Don't you see what a mistake it would be to throw it away?
Clarence?
Yes, George?
Where's Mary?
Oh, well, I can't...
I don't know how you know these things, but tell me, where is she? If you know where she is, tell me where my wife is.
I'm not supposed to tell.
Please, Clarence, tell me where she is.
You're not going to like it, George.
Where is she?
She's an old maid. She never married.
Where is Mary? Where is she? Where is she?
She's just about to close up the library! There must be some easier way for me to get my wings.
Good old Clarence. And that's a great clip because it shows us that without our lives doing what God's called us to do, it has serious impact on people around us. And most of the time we think of good choices based on how it affects our own life. But I want to just encourage you and realize that your choices impact the lives of people around you. This is very significant, that if George Bailey killed himself, then he would have not been able to do a lot of things that impacted the world and the city that he lived in and the world around him. I believe that one of the most important things in life is making good choices and learning how not to make bad choices. And if that's what you believe, then you're in the right place, and you're going to hear a message that will help you do that today. We all make mistakes. We all face difficulties. You know, some of us more mistakes than others. Some of us more difficulties than others. We all face, you know, failures in life and hardships, some more than others. Some make a lot more mistakes than others. But I believe that making bad choices causes difficulties to expound in our life. I think bad choices cause failures and difficulties to really grow in our life. And so making good choices, you're not going to avoid all of the bad hardships in life, but you can avoid a lot more of them by making good choices. And that is why I want to continue this message today. How many of you want to grow? How many of you want to become better? How many of you want to get wiser? How many of you want to make better choices? All right, in life, we all do. We all should want to. And so if that's you, you're in the right place today. So let's turn over to this familiar verse in James chapter 1, or if you're taking notes, just jot this down. You can go back and read it and meditate upon it later, because this is a scripture I think we could read almost every day. And it says this in James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom. Now, how many of you would qualify for that right there if you're in any one? Lacks wisdom, okay? Most of us would say, you know, on a daily basis, sometimes on a moment-to-moment basis, we feel like we don't have all the wisdom that we need to make the right decisions or the right choices. But James says, if any of you, he doesn't say if the pastor lacks wisdom or if a leader lacks wisdom or you know, just certain people, any of you, so any of us qualify to say, yeah, I lack wisdom. And then it says, what does it say to do? Let him ask God, who will think about it and get back to you. No, it says, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally without reproach. He's not going to shame you because you don't know what you're doing. You know, this is the wonderful thing. You know, we grow up many times or we're in certain situations in our job, and if we make mistakes or we don't know what to do, it feels like we're being shamed or we're a bad person or, you know, we get fired or whatever because we make bad choices. But God says, I'm not going to shame you. I'm not going to condemn you. I'm going to say, all you have to do is ask for wisdom. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you lots of it, and I'm not going to shame you or condemn you because you need it. This is good news. Everybody, somebody say amen. This is really good news, because I know a lot of you in here, and you need a lot of wisdom. And I need just as much as the rest of you. I mean, life is confusing many times. We have so many choices. But God wants you to know what the choices are and then give you the faith to make them so that things can go the way God wants them to go in your life. And he will give it liberally without reproach. All right, verse 6, it says this. But let him ask in faith. Now see, here's another thing about asking for God to give you wisdom in your choices. Sometimes we ask for it, but then we fail to believe that he's given it to us. And this is what I've realized, is that I ask for wisdom a lot. I used to ask for wisdom a lot more. Maybe I should continue to ask at that rate of desperation that I used to. But it says, ask in faith. Believe that when you ask, God gives it to you. Now, I don't know if you know how to ask, believe, but here's how you do it. God, ask for your wisdom on what choice I'm supposed to make here in this situation. And be specific. Don't ask for general wisdom. You know what general wisdom is? It's nothing. It's like, oh, just make me smart or give me wisdom. Help me know what to do in every situation. No, you're facing a choice to do this, to go here, to be with these people, to spend this money, you know, to have this relationship. You're asking God, give me wisdom on what to do, on specifically that situation. And then you ask and you believe that God is going to give you the wisdom, because that's what it says to do, doesn't it? Ask in faith. So now you say, God, thank you for telling me what to do. Thank you for giving me the wisdom and insight and understanding. Ask in faith with no doubting. No doubting. No doubting. You don't go, well, I wonder. Wondering is wavering. Wondering is wavering. It means, yeah, I asked and God said he would, but I'm not really sure. No, that's wavering, that's doubting. No doubts. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. You know what that means here? That the winds of adversity will cause you to think, well, I don't know if this is the right choice. But if you prayed about it, ask God for wisdom, and you believe, then he's going to show you. Now, if you have never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, if you've never surrendered to him, now that might be a prerequisite for asking for wisdom, because you have to have a relationship with God to be able to hear his voice. But once you do, ask in faith. Verse 7, I think we keep going here. Verse 7 says this, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything of the Lord if you don't ask in faith. All right, last verse. For he is double-minded, unstable in all of his ways. So ask in faith. Otherwise, you're going to be going, well, I could do this, or I could do this, I could do this. You know, and sometimes you could list the pros and cons on a decision, and you still not know what to do. Everybody been there? Yeah. Well, on one hand, well, on the other hand, that's the way it goes. On one hand, you know, and then sometimes you'll ask your goofy friends what they think, and they have less wisdom than you do. They can't even make decisions for their own life, and you're going to go, like Pastor Laurie said, we pick up the phone instead of go to the throne. That's what this is about here. Making good choices, to me, I believe, always involves getting God's wisdom. Now, you may think your choices aren't that major or that big of a deal, but I'm going to tell you, I believe that to a certain degree, a lot of our choices are a big deal. We just don't think they are. I said this last time, choices are like sowing seeds. All right, some come up immediately, some take a while to come up. And some of us are reaping the harvest of some bad choices. All right, some of us had some crop failure, which was probably a good thing. Once you got saved, God was be gracious to you, and he eliminated some of the things that, choices that you made there. So let's just do this, okay? Let's just practice this right now. I believe everybody in here, if they believe that God was going to give them wisdom for decisions, they would ask God for it, all right? And I believe he will. So let's just do that right now. Just bow your heads. And I'll just lead you in a prayer. Let's do this. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, you said in your word, if we lack wisdom, to ask, and that you would give it to us without rebuking us or shaming us for not knowing what we're doing. You also said to believe the promise of receiving godly wisdom. And so we ask right now for your wisdom regarding our lives. What to do in this situation, how to spend our money, what relationships to have, where to work. We ask that you would pour out godly wisdom so that we can make choices that are honoring to you. Solomon asked for wisdom, and you gave it to him. So we don't ask for riches, a better job, better friends, more comfortable life. We ask for wisdom, and we ask in faith, knowing that when we have your wisdom, all these other things will fall in line. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now believe it. Do you believe it? Turn to somebody and say, do you believe it? Hey, faith has a voice. Faith says, I believe it. I have the wisdom that I've asked for. So talk like you believe it. Act like you believe it. All right? And then believe it. All right? Because that's what it is required to get it. Now, I want to give you these 10 things. I'm going to go through the first ones a little quickly, but I've added some stuff to these because I've thought about it. And I want you to take these notes and really think about this. 10 ways you can make a good choice. And the first way that we talked about was this. Know who God wants you to be. Some of us are really confused with that. Now, that may say that you may just be able to go back to that prayer we just prayed. Say, God, I need wisdom on who I am. Who'd you call me to be? See, the thing that Christians like to be, they like to be copies of other people that are successful. And you know what? You won't be successful if you try to copy somebody else. You can learn from somebody's experiences, but you have got to be you. And you come to the realization that your life is significant, that you're important to God, that he didn't make a mistake when you were born on this earth, that you've got specific things to do. He's given you gifts and talents, and you need to be about finding out what that is, being who God's called you to be, and put your hand to the plow. Get to work in the kingdom. You know, if you do make a choice and you end up going in the wrong direction, at least you're moving. God can steer you. If you're not going anywhere, God can't direct, you know, you can't turn a car that's not moving. All right? That's good. So get moving. You know, get involved with using your spiritual gifts. I have found that when you try to apply your life to what God's called you to do and find out who you are, you'll gain more wisdom faster by doing it. Now, you will make some mistakes, but you're making a mistake by not doing anything. You understand? You're making a larger mistake by standing still and not being involved. So the way to make a good choice regarding God's purpose and his will for your life is to discover who you are, what talents and gifts that you have, what areas God's called you to serve in, how he's called you to carry out your calling on this earth. Find out who he's created you to be. Number two, we said develop a plan. This is the acronym, P-L-A-N. Let me go through these because I kind of went through this quickly last time, but I've actually got this up on the screen. Develop a plan. In other words, don't make choices on the fly. Don't make important choices on the fly. Don't make important choices in a crisis or when you're under pressure. Don't make important choices when you're mad or somebody offends you. Don't make choices if somebody's offended, sins against you and you're offended at them. Don't make choices. I've had people walk out of their jobs because a coworker offended them. You don't even need to get fired. You're just quitting. You're a quitter. Quitters are losers. And if that's you, go back and apologize to the person, your boss. Say, I'd like my job back. Sorry I got offended. I was the idiot in the situation. And everybody knows you were. I'm kind of hard on people who get offended. Why? Because when you get offended, you make stupid choices, like quitting your job, getting a divorce, kicking your children out of the house, or leaving your house, or doing something. You just... or go spending too much money. You mean, don't make choices when you're hungry or tired or scared and nervous. And don't make big choices when you have a lot of extra money. This is good. I could be at a seminar getting $500 an hour for this information. This is good stuff, whether you think so or not. Don't make choices based on your feelings or other people's feelings. What are they going to think about me if I do that? I don't know. Maybe they're not thinking about you. What are they going to say about me if I do that? Well, they're going to find out you made a wise choice, and maybe they'll change their tune, or maybe they'll just criticize you because you got lucky. You know, wise people who make wise choices are always lucky. I am really lucky. I've had so much luck in my life. I've got a beautiful wife, a beautiful family, a beautiful church. I take beautiful vacations. I'm really lucky. You better believe if I got everything I deserved and I got the results of all my choices, I'd be in jail. I may be probably dead. But God has allowed me to repent of my bad choices and allow me to choose some good things which had some really good fruit and really good results. I've still had to eat some of the fruit of my bad choices, but God will allow you to repent of those, humble yourself, and say, God, please, turn my life around. I'm going to start making good choices. See, there's always a second and third and fourth chance with God. He never throws you out. You're never done making choices until you die. Well, it's appointed every man to die and then the judgment. So once you die, there's the judgment. No more choices after that. Make them now, baby. You don't have to go to hell. You get to choose where you go. And it is a free ride. I mean, it's a free gift. It's a free ride, I guess. It's a free ticket to heaven. You don't have to go to hell. Accept the fact that You need forgiveness, and God provided it in a Savior named Jesus Christ who died for you, and put your faith in him. It's not any more complicated than that, but you've got to choose. Now, God may have called you. He may have given you his grace to have the faith for it or whatever, however that works theologically. But, I mean, ultimately, you get to say yes or no to that grace. You've got to choose. Don't make choices based on the economy. And this is kind of funny. Don't make choices based on special offers on TV. I was just writing things down the other day, and that just came to me. Well, it's your favorite channel. It's the, one of those, what's that shopping channel, like QVC or something like that? Is that where they have all the buy now, order now, only 70,000 payments? So you've seen those. And you go, man, that sounds like a really good deal. I need one of those things that chop the egg sideways in the middle of the night while I'm sleeping. All right, ready for the plan? Here it comes. P, prepare yourself for your destiny. Prepare for your destiny, all right? Physically. There's a lot of things you will not be able to do unless you choose to be physically fit. You will be sick, you'll be tired, you'll be burned out, you will say no to a lot of things that God wants you to say yes to if physically you're not healthy. So this is a spiritual decision, even though it affects your physical body, okay? If you exercise, you have more energy. Seriously, if you exercise or do some form of, you know, something, exercise, walking, whatever, other things, you will have more energy to do more things for God, even though you're taking time to expend more energy. If any of you who do exercising, you know this is true. It raises your energy level. It raises your metabolism. It causes you to be healthy. It lowers your blood pressure. It lowers your blood sugar. It does all this stuff for you. I mean, get off your butt. Do some walking. Oh, excuse me. Do some walking. If you can do more than that, do more than that. Get some exercise. Do something. There is something. You know, I used to joke about this because there was a channel on that every once in a while we would turn. Maybe it was one of those cartoon things. But they'd have this adult program where these senior citizens would be sitting in a chair, and they would be doing this. It was called Sit and Be Fit. And so my daughter and I would say, all right, let's get our exercises out today. Ready? Working up a big sweat here. You know, if you can do something, get active, physically fit. Mentally, all right, prepare yourself for your destiny. Prepare yourself mentally. You will make better choices when you have the facts. A lot of us don't live in reality. We make choices based on our feelings or what we think or what we want and not on what the facts say. All right, prepare yourself emotionally. You will make so much better choices when you are healthy emotionally. All right, just if you've got emotional baggage, find out how to get rid of it, baby. I mean, if you can, just let it go. Don't worry, be happy. I mean, you know, everything is awesome. I mean, just there is plenty of songs to sing, but I'm saying find out how you can be emotionally whole so that when you're making a choice, you're not going, well, if I do that, I'm going to do this, it's going to happen. If I, you know, because you have this emotional baggage around you. Prepare yourself for your destiny spiritually. Get in shape spiritually. I mean, so many of us don't even have a good spiritual image of ourselves. You got to get God's image of you. So when I say get physically spiritually fit, it means seeing yourself the way God sees you. He loves you. He's called you. His hand is on you. He's forgiven you. He's got a wonderful plan for your life. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He said you can do all things. I mean, get the word of God in your spirit. Get some faith going. So when you need to make a choice, you can say, this is going to be a hard one, but I've got the faith, and I've got the spiritual health, and I've got the emotional stability, and I've got the facts to do with these things, and I'm going to move forward in God. And you know what? That'll bust out, open more doors, and give you more breakthrough than sitting around going, well, God, if this is what you want. You know, I mean, I understand that some, you know, positive things say, if it's going to be, it's up to me. But there's a lot of things about your spiritual life that if it's going to be, it's up to me. If it's going to happen, you've got to make the choice. Okay? Now, God can open doors for you. But you know what? The door needs to be walked through. And sometimes those doors could cause a little anxiety because you don't know what's on the other side. You know, it's an open door is like you want to go through, but you want to hang on to what you got. You can't be on both shores at the same time. You've got to walk through the door and let go of the opportunity that you have. You want that promotion, and maybe the door opens. You've got to let go of the job that you have, maybe. All right, so be spiritually fit. L, learn everything you can about who God's called you to be. Okay? Go back to listen to these messages on the will of God. Find out what God's will is. Universally, for you and your family, for you personally, all these different areas. Learn everything you can about it. And then A, apply it to your life immediately. Apply it to your life immediately. What are your strengths and what are your weaknesses? All right? People say, well, work on your weaknesses. I don't want to work on my weaknesses. I don't want to be any weaker than I already am. I want to play to my strengths. If I know I'm good in an area, you know, I don't work on my singing. I don't work on leading worship, all right, because that's not my strength. I'll work on playing the drums. I'll work on my sermons, but I won't work on, like, my artistic skills because I have none. All right, play to your strengths, work on them, make them as good as they can be. And then N, never give up on what God has called you to be. Never give up. The greatest advice on success is never quit. Never quit. Never quit. You know, the number one, and some people would say the only requirement for serving God in ministry is faithfulness. It's not talent, it's not ability, it's faithfulness. Showing up, not quitting, not giving up. All right? All right, next, prioritize your life. We talked about this. You've got to have priorities in your life. What's important, what's not important, or what you're going to do first, and then if you have time, you do a second. Prioritize your life. Most people spend their entire lives on a fantasy island called Someday Isle. Someday Isle. People who make good choices, I believe, can survive under the most terrible circumstances, and then they become more extraordinary because of it. If you're willing to make good choices, it doesn't matter what kind of hardship you face. You'll get through it. God will give you the wisdom to get through it. And I believe if you make the right choices that God helps you make, on the other side of that, you'll be even better at making good choices. You'll be even more extraordinary. You'll be even stronger. Now, I don't believe that God is sitting here, you know, breaking people's legs and giving them cancer and making them suffer on all this kind of stuff to teach them something. He sent his word to teach us. But in life, those things happen. And we have a choice whether we're going to lay down and let it defeat us or whether we're going to be giving glory to God by walking through it and making the proper choices to have victory, be more than a conqueror, and give glory to God even in the midst of whatever storm is raging and whatever circumstances come against us. but we have to prioritize our life. Bad choices start with the words, it's too hard. I'm too tired. I'm too sick. There's not enough time. I'm not smart enough. Things never work out. I'm a failure. I can't, etc., etc., etc. Bad choices start with negativity. Bad choices already think that things are hopeless. I mean, hope, it sounds kind of a weak, kind of a wishy-washy word, but I'll tell you what, hope is what keeps us moving forward, that we have a promise of a better life, of a better day, of a good choice that will turn things around, of a choice that will honor God, and a miracle will happen. All right? I love miracles, but miracles don't happen if there's not a need for one. Miracles don't happen unless you're in a situation where you need God to do something beyond what you're able to do. I love miracles, but, you know, be careful if you're praying for miracles, because you're going to need one then. And you know what that means? Something's going to happen in your life where you're going to have God do something that you can't do, which means you're without God, you're up a creek without a paddle. I couldn't think of anything else. The Word of God tells us that He will give you everything you need to carry out His will. He'll give you the wisdom. He'll give you the boldness. He'll give you the courage, the resources, the time, the favor, the open doors, everything that you need. The promises of God cover every area of human existence. And He has given them to each of us to believe, stand on, apprehend, acquire, and apply in our life. Believe in the promises of God. Believe in them. Get them for your life. Apply them in your life. Believe in them. And then prioritize your time, your money, your activities, and your associations. Here's what I believe about priorities. When you know what your priorities are, your choices become simple. I didn't say easy, but they become simple. When you know what you believe, your priorities become simple. When you know what God says about stuff, your beliefs become simple. So if you want your choices to be simple, know what God says about the situation. Choices become simple when we choose, you might want to write this down, choices become simple when we choose to love what God loves. A lot of times we have ambitions that aren't necessarily wrong. We want to do something. But I believe one of the keys to success is to love the thing that God has called you to love or called you to do. You've got to have a love for it because ultimately whatever He's called you to do is good. You're going to face some conflict there, and you have to say, I love this enough to face the pressure and the difficulties of having to stay with the choice that I've made to leave all and follow Jesus. All right, the fourth one here is the fourth one, number four is circumcise your tongue. This is one of those that I just had to put in here because it helps you be able to make good choices. Without this, there will always be some difficulty in making the right choice. Now, this could be like an entire sermon series for a year. And we all know that because there's so many different aspects of this. And I'll just show you why this is so important. In James chapter 3, it'll be up on the screen. I'll just read it here. James chapter 3 says this about the tongue. It says, for we all stumble in many ways. We all make mistakes. We all have failures in many different areas of our life. But if anyone does not stumble in the words that they say with their tongue, he is a perfect or a mature man, able also to bridle or control his whole body. Next verse. He gives two illustrations here. First, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may do what? All right, so here you go. That they may obey us. You've got to understand, he's going to use two analogies here about something that is obedient to the person. And what he is saying here is that your words are like the bit in a horse's mouth. Whatever you say, your life will obey. We put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Or, with your words, you can turn your entire life. Look at the ships. Although they are so large, you get, oh, my life is so huge. And they are driven by fierce winds, and I've got so many problems. My life is so huge. There's so many problems. However, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot, what? Desires. Where do you desire to go? What do you desire to do? What do you desire to be? There's a little rudder in your mouth that will direct the course of your life. And I really believe this because I've seen it for the many years I've been studying this, and that is your tongue will save your life or will wreck your life. And we are the result, not all the result, because there's many other influences, but I believe the majority of the result of the fruit of the life that we live in, we've had a certain degree of being able to steer our life into that trouble or into that mess or into the life that we live by our tongue. Because we've never really been taught about the fact that when God created us in his image, the words that we speak have creative power and they also have destructive power. They have the power to bring themselves to pass, not like God does, but to a certain degree. He says, wherever the pilot desires. You might want to, you just need to type that out and put that somewhere. Put that somewhere where you can read that and you can go, I'm going to, that verse that we just had up there, I'm going to type that out and put that on the refrigerator. I'm going to put that in my car. And the next time I want to say something, I'm going to go, I don't want my life to go in that direction. I desire to go in this direction. Whatever I put my hand to does prosper. My children do listen to me. My husband is loving and kind and patient and understanding and gentle. He does get his prayers answered. My wife does respect me. We do have peace in our home. My finances are blessed. My boss does have favor upon my life. I mean, we could be here for hours and hours and hours saying, you know, I need to redirect the way this ship is headed. Because some of you, your life's going over a waterfall. And you need to turn the boat around in a hurry. Jesus, have mercy. All right, that was number what? 4? Yeah. Choose your words carefully. All right? Remember this, a last scripture on this, and it's up here on the screen. Proverbs 10:19. I want to get this in. Proverbs 10:19 says this, when words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. So, you know, sometimes guys seem to be a little wiser because we don't talk a lot. It's really not that we're wiser. We just have nothing to say. Something's empty up there. What are you thinking? Honey, what are you thinking, honey? It's a nice day? I'm really not thinking of anything. So we have an advantage because we have less stuff going on in our brain. Sometimes it's impossible for us to come up with an answer. How's work? How's work? How you feeling? I don't know. I haven't thought about it. Fine, I guess. So, ladies, give us a break. However, ladies, your mind might be able to have a lot of thoughts at a lot of times that are all connected together. All right? Don't let them all come out of your mouth. So right now, for those of you who are listening to me on tape, I'm doing zip the lip. I'm, you know, cut through, whatever it takes, just choose your words carefully. All right, number 5, just going to let you know about this one, and then we're going to move on to a few other ones here. Be committed to personal growth. You're the one that chooses whether you're going to grow and learn and change. Nobody else does that for you. Pastor Tom can help you. He can challenge you. Motivational speaker can motivate you. But ultimately, you're going to have to get up on a morning that you're tired, and you're going to have to decide that what you do every day, every day, every day, is your habit, and that's what you become. If you're committed to personal growth, you'll put something into your life that will help you be a learner and not a loser. Nobody wants to lose, but unless you're willing to change with the last mistake you made, you'll just make it over again. And a lot of times when you make the mistake over again, it's even worse than you made it the first time. He's going around the mountain, going around the mountain. Stop, get off the train, get a plan, learn from your failure, the bad decision, and don't make it again. Okay? Next, number 6. And this is what we didn't talk about these last time. Accept total responsibility for your life. You know, it's like the higher the number goes, the harder I'm pushing the pedal to the metal here, right? Accept total responsibility for your life. Now, you know, I would be happy to be sitting here listening to myself today, because this is really good stuff. Yes. Accept total responsibility for yourself. I say amen. All right? When bad things have happened to my life, when people have done things that could have tremendous negative effects on my life, you know what? I said, God, what am I supposed to do? He goes, take responsibility for what you can. Take responsibility for what you can. The most important ability anyone can possess is responsibility. The acceptance of responsibility is the beginning of every change you want or need to make good choices. The acceptance of responsibility is the beginning of every change you want or what you need to make good choices. When you accept responsibility, you take control of your life from something else. When you don't accept responsibility, someone else or something else has control of your life. And believe me, nobody or nothing really cares what happens to you eventually. You need to be in control of your own destiny and your own life, so you take responsibility for what you can. It's something that you take. Even though some responsibility is given to you, you still have to take that. And then the responsibility that God asks you to take, you have to possess that. This is my choice. I have to do that. Nobody else is responsible for this. When you don't accept responsibility, some bad things happen to your life. Okay? This is a good parenting thing too here, Delvin. All right. First, the thing that will happen if you don't accept responsibility is you'll have a victim mentality because things are happening to you. You know, you ever just go through your day and bad things happen and it was like, I didn't make that happen. It just happened to me. Flat tires happen. People steal from you. People say things you don't like. People, you know, bad things happen to you. And you have no control over those things. And I understand that. But there are some things you do have control over, and those are the things you need to be responsible for. But if you don't, then you'll have a victim mentality. It'll cause you to focus on what you cannot do rather than what you can do. It will cause you to view other things and other people as the source of your problem. Well, it's society. It's the economy. It's the government. It's some discrimination. When you take responsibility for your own life and your choices, you can move past those things. You can move past those things into some powerful accomplishments. Second, when you don't take responsibility, is it warps your perspective on how life works. Now, I think all of our perspectives on how life works needs a lot of help. But particularly when you're not taking responsibility, people who don't take responsibility, they just don't get how to be successful. They just don't get how life works. They just don't get why a choice, you know, a good choice needs to be made many times. So here's the thing. Life does not work the way we want it to. Is that new to anybody? Okay. Just, I never know. Sometimes the way people talk to me, hey, you know, pastor, I'm like, you think life's all going to always go the way you want it to? I mean, I don't actually say that. I guess I'm misthinking that. I'm a very disciplined person, you know. When people come and actually talk to me, I don't say the things that come to my head. And hopefully you don't either. Because, you know, you want to hear them out. And then you try to figure out how to tell them, well, life's not going to go your way all the time. Okay? However, some people think that. People think, if things would go our way, life would be easier. It would be fair. It would be more fun. That's the way life should be. We should never experience pain or suffering. I only want to work when I feel like it. I still want to have everything I want, but not have to earn any money. But that's not the way life works, is it? Life is just not easy. I don't care who you are. It's just not easy. And it's harder for some than it is for others. I understand that. But it's just not easy. And here's another newsflash. It isn't fair. Okay? That one, I never understood that one, why life had to be fair. Why anything had to be fair. I never understood that, because it's not even in the Bible. God gives one person 10 gifts and another person one. What? He gives one person 5 talents and another person 2 or another person 1. What's up with that? It's not fair. All right? All right? So life's not easy. It's not fair. It's not going to go the way you want. Build a bridge. Get over it. Okay? The faster you take responsibility for the fact that life isn't going to treat you the way you want and it's not fair, the faster you'll be on a road to make good choices that will cause you to excel where everybody thinks, well, they're so lucky. How'd they get all that? How come they are accomplishing all that? Because they realized that life wasn't fair, and if they're going to see some things happen in their life, they're going to have to make the choices to take responsibility for the actions that they take and for their circumstances and move on. Get some wisdom. Get some wisdom. Stop blaming everybody else for your failures. I'm serious. I mean, you said all these failures, and all these other people are dying and going to hell, and you could be there helping them if you just say, I'm taking responsibility for what I can. This is good. I'm right in my zone here. Exhortation is my zone. And you love it, don't you? You okay, Lorna? All right, you're not going to leave the church? You can come in and work yourself to the bone this Wednesday. How's that? He says, I'm staying now. All right. She hasn't been in for 2 months? At least 2 months. She hasn't been in my office, so we've got stacks and stacks of stuff for you to do. All right, you better come in early. Here's a quote from Johnny Carson. He said, if life was fair, Elvis would still be alive, and all the impersonators would be dead. In life, there is a divine purpose that gives you hope and a future, but there is also a devil and a broken world of sinners that tries to corrupt God's plan. And you have the decision to make whether you're going to grab a hold of God's purpose and plan and move forward with it, or you're just going to submit and succumb to the devil's attacks, the broken, sinful world, and all the nasty things that everybody around you does, and say, well, it's hopeless. There's nothing that's hopeless. Not with God. Here's what I believe. I don't care. The worst thing in life could happen to you. And of course, when something bad happens to you, you think it's the worst. And if you continue to press towards the purpose and plan of God and don't give up faith or hope, God will turn that around for your good. He'll turn around a bankruptcy for your good. He'll turn around a sickness or disease for your good. He'll turn around a broken relationship for your good. But you have to do another thing here, which we'll talk about in a minute. But you have to put your faith in what God's called you to do and make the right choice. Take responsibility for it. Because if we're not careful, we'll compare our lot in life to that of others. And we'll think, well, God's holding out on me. You have no idea what anybody else has been through just because they have something or they get to do something. You have no idea what they've been through to get that. Any person who's visibly or marginally successful has made some very tough decisions. Very tough decisions. Okay? So instead of on focusing on why things happen, focus on how things work and what you're supposed to do and the choices you're supposed to make. Another thing that happens if you lack responsibility is it causes you to blame other people. When things go wrong, it's easy to find someone else to say, well, it's their fault. Okay? But here's the thing, and this is a scripture here. Is Trina still there? All right. All right, here we go. I know it's been a few minutes since I've had something on the screen. So here's what happens. When you stand at the end of your life, when you stand before Jesus someday in 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says this. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So you don't have to take responsibility now, but you'll take responsibility then. Better to take it now so that when you get there and Jesus and you have a face-to-face conversation and he doesn't call your friends and your family in and go, what were you guys thinking? Well, you need to be helping this guy. I mean, all of his failures are your fault and your fault and your fault and your fault. The fact that he sat around all day and didn't do anything is your fault and your fault and your fault. And his wife, besides that, no, Jesus isn't calling anybody else into this meeting. It's just you and him, and he's going to go, what did you do with what I gave you? Well, he may be not that tone of voice. What did you do with what I gave you? Nothing? I'm listening. Hello? Because there's a verse in the Gospels where Jesus says, God will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Okay? So do it with all of your heart. Find out how God wants you to do it and get to it. All right? So responsibility is the choices that we make. And when we don't take it, we give away the choice to somebody else. Commitment, success, happiness, and those who continue to grow and improve are those who accept responsibility in their life. Now, accepting responsibility doesn't mean everything is going to be going hunky-dory all the time, but it does mean you are in control and take responsibility for the choices that you have, not someone else. Okay? To me, the worst part of not accepting responsibility, is that you don't grow. You don't get any better. You keep making the same mistakes. That's the worst part about it. And that's a tragedy. It's a waste of your life and your time that God will hold you accountable for. I believe it's immoral and creates an injustice to the people around you who God's put you there to help them. And you're reneging on your responsibilities to be who God's called you to be so you can change the world that you live in. Oh, this world has got so many problems. You know, it does have a lot of problems. And part of it is there's a lot of irresponsible people not doing anything about it. All it takes for evil to, you know, everybody's heard this quote. All it takes for evil to prosper is for good men to do nothing. All it takes for the devil to have his way is for Christians to be irresponsible. And that's the worst part about it. It's a tragedy. I mean, right today, I'm enjoying the benefits of the choices and the responsibility that my father took, Howard Wilkie, for his life. After he came back from World War II and fought in that Pacific War as a Marine officer, he came back and he got a job working for his father's business. But about 2 years later, his father died. His father dies, and so he takes over his business, and he discovers the business is deeply in debt. And he had a choice. Would he walk away? Would he blame his father? Would he complain and declare, I'm a victim? Would he just file bankruptcy and walk away from his debts? No, he didn't. He made some difficult choices. He chose to work his hiney off. He chose to ask God for wisdom. He chose to make very hard choices and not to quit. And eventually, things turned around. And I'm here today, and we are here today, because my father took responsibility for some very difficult situations and choices in his life. What you may think is the hardest thing in your life or a hardship that you don't deserve, if you stick with it and ask God for wisdom, it may turn around and be the biggest blessing you've ever seen in your life. Be careful. Difficulties aren't always of the devil. And even if they are, with God on your side and a little responsibility, the devil's no match for you. He's no match for God's power, his miracle-working power. So we were at a conference. I was at a conference one time, at a pastor's conference, and I remember the speaker up there. He looked it over the pastors, and he said, it was in the context of a message about growing and learning and becoming a better pastor, and he said, he sees some pastors, and sometimes he likes to ask the pastors the question, are you going to get any better, or is this it? Are you going to get any better, or is this it? Ask yourself today, am I going to get any better, or is this it? Number 7, subordinate your feelings to God's principles. There's two different kinds of people, those who feel something and then do what needs to be done, those who do what needs to be done and then they feel good. Subordinate your feelings to God's principles. In other words, you know the right, you've asked for wisdom, you know the right choice, your feelings don't decide whether you do it or not. It's the word of God. It's what God tells you. It's the wisdom of God. Your feelings will follow eventually. You get up in the morning, man, you're tired today, but you know you made a commitment to get yourself physically fit. Every feeling you have says, jump back in that bed, go eat an omelet or three, have a bunch of white toast with a lot of butter on it, go back and don't forget the bacon, and get back in that bed because you need to reward yourself today. Reward yourself today. Okay, so great. All my feelings say this is what I want to do. My choice would be, I don't care what I feel like, I'm going to get out and I'm going to do my walk. I'm going to do my exercises. I'm going to do my prayer time with God. I'm going to do these things because I know in the long run, it's what's going to sustain me. The eggs and the bacon and the sleep aren't really going to do much for me. It's just going to make my feelings go, whew, got our way again, got our way again, got our way again. So subordinate your feelings to God's principles. Again, don't make these choices when I said before, when you're tired or hungry or stressed or anxious. A lot of times, because your feelings are always going to rise up at some point and tell you to make the bad choice. So if you choose before your feelings have a chance to argue with you, this is why it's good to have an exercise partner. Because it's harder to say, I quit, to your partner than it is to your feelings. Come on. Come on. Shout at me. Say amen or something. You know that's the truth. Or I'm just talking to myself. That's right, Pastor Tom. Well, you keep preaching. I will. Thank you. How would your choices... But, you know, now some choices aren't all really that different. But some, again, whatever you do daily. But some choices are life-changing. What if your choices... that are made, somebody's life depended upon it? What choices would you make if somebody's life depended upon it? If somebody's eternal salvation depended upon your choices? If somebody's destiny and those around you were dependent upon your choices? You see, your life and your choices really do matter. They really do. When my mom was 50-some years old, she was on the couch with a serious back injury that she wasn't able to walk. And she said, well, I'm going to just watch Christian programs. So, and this was before my mom became Betty the Bible Wilkie. She was just a nice Lutheran person. And she was on their couch, and she started watching I think it was a 700 Club. She started watching Pat Robertson. And Pat Robertson started to tell her that, you know, God healed people, that God filled people with the Holy Spirit. God does that. And, you know, and she's like, I never heard that before. But that makes sense. My mom would always say, there's no power shortage in heaven. What he did for the apostles, there wasn't like a, he didn't unplug the power. So it's still obviously here. It's just that people aren't tapping into it. She goes, So she said, well, God, I want you to heal me. And so she got healed. And then she goes, well, I want you to fill me with your power and your Holy Spirit. And she got filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And she began to speak in tongues. And she began to learn the Bible. And she began to become who we all know as Betty Wilkie. But back then, Betty Wilkie was just your nice Lutheran lady who would not have any power whatsoever other than just to be a nice person. All of a sudden, she made some great choices to follow God. And I believe I am here today as a result of her choices. Do you realize that the fact that your backsliding could keep some other people from fulfilling their destiny? Ooh, come on. It's a little lighter here. You know where that's going. Woo! I'm trying my best. All right. Seriously, you've got to take the decisions you make and the choices you make more seriously in terms of how it affects the people around you. Okay? How many people I know who have chosen cash over their calling? Don't start me. From the time I was in Bible school to the day I'm standing here right now, people decide, well, I'd rather have the money than the ministry. If they can't get the money in the ministry, which, believe me, that's not where you get money. At least not honorably. All right? If you can't get the money, then you don't want to be in the ministry. Well, you know what? That's the one sacrifice you're going to have to make. Some people choose the comfort over Christ-like character. They choose selfishness over sacrifice. And so I would just say, do you want to even help people? I mean, or is it just, is this a convenient type of thing? Well, if it works out, I've got enough time, I have enough money, and I'm feeling like it, I'll stop and help somebody. Get out. I don't think God's ever going to knock on your door. Let's see, Holy Spirit, let's see, do they feel like it today? Do they have enough money today? Do they have everything all wrapped up perfectly so that they can stop and actually sacrifice and help somebody? Never happen. All right. You know, Jesus only gave us two commands. Love God with all your heart, right? And what's the other one? Love people. So those are two choices you make every day. Putting God first and then loving people the way Jesus did. So, all right, we're down to the last couple here, and I'm out of time. So I'll just give them to you real quick. Number 8, take a stand on your convictions. You know, you don't need to be embarrassed about the fact that you believe what God said. You never do. You may get persecuted for it. You may get shamed for it. You may get ostracized for it. You may get fired for it. You may get all kinds of things for it. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you stand on your convictions, God will honor that and turn around things in your life supernaturally for you. Number 9, and we just kind of talked about this, always treat others the way Jesus did. You know, just you can go through what Jesus said. And number 10, and we're going to pray about this last one, because I believe for all these choices, this is what we need to do. Always put your trust in the Lord, not in your circumstances, not in your job, not in your feelings, not even in friends and family. You put your trust in the Lord. It's great to have people around you who love you and support you and encourage you and help you and all that. It's wonderful. I have that. But you know what? My trust is not in my wife. It's not in Pastor Lori. It's not in Laurel. It's not in the things that I have. My trust is not, because, you know, tomorrow they may be gone. And I still might still be here. God forbid that they would be gone. God forbid that I would lose everything. But the fact is, I can't have my trust in anything other than God. And you know what? You get to practice while you have things around you. Practice now while you have things around you to put your trust in God. Because if they're all gone, you won't have a choice. All right, I'm done. Let's stand on our feet this morning. And I want to lead you in a prayer of commitment to acknowledge the fact that God is our source, that He is the source of our wisdom. He is the source of our strength. And come on, I want to just lead you in this commitment that we can get better. That we don't have to, is this it? We can be more than, is this it? We can have that passion, that fire in our life to be able to say, I'm going to grow. I'm going to learn more about my calling, my craft, my gifts, my strengths, how to help people. I'm going to be able to give more, sacrifice more. I'm going to pray more for people. All right. You're going to go to work. You're going to spend money. You're going to eat. You're going to do all this kind of stuff. But let's improve. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, say this with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the word of God we've received. My heart is good soil. I allow it to be planted and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. I will leave here today applying what I've learned. Let it transform my mind and will and emotions. When I don't feel like making a good choice, help me stop and ask for help. Give me wisdom, God, to know the choices that you want me to make and to stop making the choices that are destructive and hurtful and take me away from what you've called me to do. Now I make a commitment. Let's say this. We make a commitment to follow you with all of our heart and not look to the right or to the left, not look behind, but to let go of all the little things that stop us from doing what you've called us to do. We put our hand to the plow as harvesters to see souls saved, people healed, people helped. Lord, help us to have a giving mentality, to commit to serving, loving, and helping people, and making this world a better place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap.